you have recorded all of the Beethoven concertos, piano concertos, and you're doing it all again as a major project this season. Is that right?
Yes, I'm coming back to this repertoire because, you know, it's really the pinnacle of piano repertoire as far as piano concertos go. And it's good to come back every few years to get a different perspective to it. And I'm happy I have the opportunity to do so.
And this particular concerto, Beethoven's fourth, what intrigues you about it?
Well, there are many things. I mean, that's a very famous masterpiece of all times. I think that to speak a very simple language, I think that the heavenly qualities of this piece really are very, very special. You know, when the kind of dolce aspect of this. Beethoven wrote more pianissimos in this concerto than any other piece that I can think of, and more dolce and espressivos than any other piece as well. So I think that had a special tenderness to this piece that attracts me a lot.
It begins so quietly with the piano playing by itself. Isn't that an unusual beginning?
Well, he was a very radical man with very, very revolutionary musical ideas, and I think he kind of invented that idea of piano beginning, the piano concerto. Until this moment, this was unheard of, that usually the traditional concerto of the time was to have an orchestra introduction, like an opera would have overture, big overture, and then a soloist would come in. But not in this case. I think he was trying new things. I think Mozart gave it a hint in Kirchhell 271, when there's a very short 1-2 measures orchestra introduction and piano begins to play. I think that was already a hint for Beethoven. I think he took so much from Mozart in many pieces that maybe it gave him an idea to go a step farther and start a concerto with piano introduction.
And as the piece proceeds, the piano at one point is very soft and reflective, and the strings are very aggressive, and there seems to be this dialogue back and forth between the piano and the orchestra.
Well, you're probably talking about second movement, when there is that dominating orchestra force playing, and then piano's response is, you know, in pianissimo, and don't forget the orchestra plays in unison, and the piano part is harmonized. So it's like two opposite forces that have a friction, and eventually orchestra gives in, and the orchestra eventually goes to the piano level, the pianissimo, and then somehow they meet together. But you're right that this concerto has a very big dynamic range. Not also feelings and dynamics are part of this universe.
And as you've played it many times, when you play it, does how you play it in the moment depend on what the orchestra is doing in that moment?
Of course, it's the music making is a very spontaneous experience, and very much is decided at the moment of a performance. You know, I think that you hear the orchestra play and you react, and I think they also do the same. They react to what I do. It's just that's a phenomenon of live performance. You know that it's, you know, of course in the recording you have that moment that's recorded and it repeats itself as you play the records. It's always the same thing. But in performance, things happen differently all the time.
Do you think about the context in which Beethoven wrote this and the things he was struggling with? Is that reflected in the piece, do you think?
You know, he was trying a lot of new things. For example, all his pieces somehow connected. You know, if you think about Opus 58, and then there is Opus 57, which is an appassionata. And I can see he uses some of the same harmonic progressions. You know, he does it in a very subtle way, but he does kind of, he takes an idea and he takes a step farther. And also, he is trying something actually very interesting. He's writing, the lot of melodies in this concerto happen very high on the keyboard. So usually up till third concerto, 1, 2, and 3, all the melodies happen in the middle register of the piano. But this, he goes to extremes, and you can hear this very high up, and the bass is much lower than normal. So he does try new things all the time, and they are miraculous.
I read somewhere that you said you don't necessarily try to express yourself, you try to discover what was in the composer's mind. When you play a piece like this many times, what does that mean?
You know, it's an incredible journey. I think that it was Arturo Schnabel who said once that no matter how good the performance is of the piece, it's never as good as the piece itself. You know, it's never-ending journey of discovering new things about this music of a great genius, and it's a great privilege to be working on it. You know, spending your life trying to uncover some of the secrets of this music.
It's been said about works of art that you don't ever finish them; you just leave them for a time.
You know, I always think about performing. You know, it's never final product; it's always work in progress. It's, I think, more interesting than the final product in a way. I think that the work in progress, you can see the searching elements in the performance that are so unique. You know, when I hear great artists perform, I can see that they're looking for something new, they're struggling. There's always this tension in the performance that they are looking for something else. And I think that comes not as an accident, it comes intentionally. I think that it's important to see that the work in progress is always there.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.